Hi, I'm Brandon.
And I'm Shania.
And welcome to Big Oof Coming Your Way, a podcast where we talk about ideas, concepts, and influences in today's media and our lives.
Yeah, so just shit we like.
Yeah, basically. That's actually a simple way of putting it. I came up with that intro and put it on our About page, but shit we like is the very basic version of that.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So, what are we talking about today?
We are talking about video game essos.
That's right. AKA, I just want to date Kiryu Kazuma.
Which is a mood. Yeah. He's a stoic king.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, he just goes, and then that's it for me. That's all I needed.
For those of you who don't know, Kiryu is the main protagonist of the Yakuza series.
Yeah.
Which is one that I would very highly recommend. It is both emotionally devastating and hilarious.
And, yeah, it kind of runs between, like, the plot is the emotional seriousness. Kind of like any of those open-world story games, like, with GTA and stuff, there's, like, a serious plot line. Except, like, Yakuza is an extremely serious plot, and then the side quests are basically, I could imagine the side quests were made by the writers going, what if we just added this? And the director said, no. But a side quest, though. And that's essentially all the ideas that they have.
Yeah. And honestly, the best thing about it is that, like, Kiryu is so serious. So everything that he does, he's super intense about it. So, like, him racing little small toy cars.
Yeah.
He's, like, deadass about it.
Yeah, they have the... There's one side quest where all the kids... in this 80s arcade really want Kiryu to race it's like the king or something. Yeah. It's like the king of the racetrack, and they're little like toy racing cars, and Kiryu looks at it and is like, in his mind he's like, dead ass, I'm gonna beat this child at racetrack for these other children.
The equivalent of like a grown man like dunking on
a 21 year old. But that's what I think is like the perfect thing about it. And why I want Kiryu to be my SO, but they won't let me have that. Because A, they didn't make me in the game. And B, I can't do that because I'm not in the game. It's both of those are the same reason.
Yeah.
But it's because Yakuza follows the golden rule of comedy, which is your characters have to treat the most ridiculous situation as 100% serious.
Yeah.
So.
And I love when, like, people stop Kiryu on the street. They're like, you look like you could kill me, but also...
What's that one photographer guy say? It's like, you're so terrifying.
Exactly.
And handsome.
And it's like, but there's a glint of kindness in your eyes. So I feel like you'll help me. And Kiryu's like...
Like, half of Kiryu's voice lines, I feel like, could be composed of and and then, like, slight... confusion, or like the meme with the person doing all the math and trying to think about things, and yet he's so charming.
Yeah, I think like Kiryu in Yakuza Zero is my favorite because there's this one side quest that you can play called Real Estate Royale, and like you basically just like buy up a bunch of properties and make money, and when you win, like, Kiryu basically is just, like, fanning himself with money, but his face is, like, completely serious.
Yeah. So besides Yakuza, there are other video game SOs, if you didn't know. So, what we're really here for, Shania, here's the first question of the podcast. What is your favorite video game SO of, like, all time?
You already know who it is. It's Cullen Rutherford.
Right.
From Dragon Age.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is one of the only recurring characters.
Yeah, he's in all three games.
Yeah. You can't romance him until Inquisition.
Yeah, when you're in the first game in Origins, when you're the Grey Warden, he's the dude in the Mage Tower who's like basically PTSD'd out of his mind because he was trapped in like a binding circle and seeing all like his friends die to the demons from like the Fade. So starts off real strong for him.
Yeah.
And then he's like on the front lines when the, what is it, the tower in, not the Mage's Tower of One, the thing Circle? In two.
The Chantry?
Yeah, the Chantry blows up.
Yeah, he is. My boy's been through a lot. So it makes sense that in Inquisition, he's dealing with a crippling lyrium addiction, which is basically fantasy crystal meth.
Yeah.
And,
with a little bit of steroids attached.
With a little bit of steroids
Two for attached. One deal.
Exactly. So, he has, like, a lyrium addiction because, like, he's just been through a lot of trauma. And it's honestly, I feel like it's the best when you play as a mage because, like, he's someone who's been really traumatized by mages and by the Circle. But then he realizes, like, maybe Templars do kind of suck. Like, maybe you guys have a point.
So, let me get this straight. I just want to, like, point this out.
Sure.
Your ideal romantic fantasy in a video game is playing a character where I'm not like all those other mages.
Yeah.
To a drug addict who hates your people.
Sometimes we want to play out our 2011 Tumblr fantasies.
Yeah, the I can fix him fantasy.
And you're not going to shame me for
that. I'm not shaming it. I'm just saying that's your ideal fantasy.
I absolutely did fix him. And you get married to him. But yeah, you literally, I mean, the quest line literally is like, fix me. Like,
fix me.
Because he there's literally a point where he's like, do you think I should keep taking lyrium, a.k.a.
The rock candy.
Crystal meth. And you can either be like, well, yeah, like, it makes you super strong.
Fucking just snort it, bro. Let's go.
I mean, we gotta do what we gotta do.
Smoke up. We got demons to destroy.
Exactly. Or you can be like, perhaps not. Like, perhaps you should not be addicted anymore. And then he just does it.
Well, it's okay. I can be very persuasive, the main character said.
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess everything would be, like, way simpler in life if that's, like, how it worked.
Yeah, pretty much.
If they're like, you want me to stop being addicted to this thing? And you're like, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're he's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Very persuasive argument there.
Exactly.
So, yeah, Dragon Age, BioWare.
Yeah, BioWare in general is just really good at...
Yeah, at just companion quests and
yeah.
Building... They're very good at the five-man band. Just exactly. Building up a good crew, and then you're, like, usually, almost always, I'm trying to, like, run through all the games real fast, and I think you're always the leader.
Yeah.
And in most of the games, they have the similar trope, and I'm fine with it, because it's super narcissistic, which is what the RPG is all about, is your narcissism.
Like, you're the fucking main character. Like,
well, they always do the thing where it's, like, we follow you because of, like, your example or your spirit. It's, like, people don't... They're not contracted to follow you. They just gravitate to you.
Yeah.
So, like, it works. But my favorite SO is Lyra Tassoni, a doctor from Mass Effect. Mass Effect. Yeah, all three Mass Effects have Lyra Tassoni. Andromeda has her in Cameo, but that one doesn't matter because it's a different character. It's not part of, like, the trilogy. And she goes from... In Mass Effect, she's basically an archaeologist who studies the last race that happened before the Reapers. So she's, like, studying them, and she's really nice and sweet and kind of, like, bookish.
That is really fair.
Yeah, and so she's... I think it's, like, funny because she basically is afraid of her age in that game because she's young for her species.
Isn't she, like...
She's 106 in the first Mass Effect game.
Because they live up to, what, like, 600 or something?
1,000.
Like? Oh, my God.
They live... I don't even... A millennia? Is that 1,000 years?
Yes.
Yeah. So they basically live a millennia. And she's just super...
Millennium.
Mm-hmm. So she's just super nice. Game 2. She becomes the baddest of bitches. On the planet, because
we love that journey for her.
So, in the second Mass Effect, she is actually the person who gives... this is going to be some spoilers, so you might want to cover your ears, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, she's covering her ears. In Mass Effect 2, you, like, prologue, if you don't know, you get blown the fuck up in this game. You die. You straight, like, just die. And it turns out, like, I'd say, like, 30% through the game, you find out that she was the one who gave your body to this, they're considered a terrorist group in human civilization, and they kind of are, but now you're like kind of wound up in working for them, so they give it to them, and yeah, so you find that out. Shania, yeah, you're good.
Okay.
So yeah, and then she becomes the Shadow Broker. Well, you help her become like the Shadow Broker, essentially. And the Shadow Broker in the Mass Effect universe is basically the black market of information. They deal with anything of like trade, secrets, research, blackmail. So that's who she becomes. She goes from I'm an archaeologist studying an ancient civilization to I'll find you, your family, your family's family, your family's 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 family, your friends, your dog, and I'll kill them all if you don't stop fucking with me. And so I love that journey because she never stops being the sweet person that she is with you. If you're her, even just her friend. But it just, it's that sweet change from like that experience. So if it's told for through her eyes of the story, it's a coming of age of her going from that like bookish and very like solo person into somebody who can use her talents in an underground organization to actually be good, even though she's hella ruthless if she needs to be.
There was a spoiler alert for me because he really, really wants me to play Mass Effect.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get through the first one, but its age is
Gameplay's booty.
really, yeah, it's trash. I
Yeah.
mean, like, it's like when you play an old game and then like you realize like, oh man, there are certain things about video games that like thank God they exist now. Like a shifting camera angle.
Yeah, that really helped.
Like,
Mass Effect,
holy
okay.
shit.
So the problems with Mass Effect 1 is it's a product of its time more than anything else. At the time it came out, the game controls were I'd say like a 7 out of 10, but that's in 2006.
Now they're like a three.
So yeah, it becomes really hard to deal with at that point, especially with the ports to PC. You
Yeah.
can't even use a controller without modding, but some people's systems can't handle it. Like, it's just, it's nothing wrong with, like, the way you installed it. You straight up just can't use, like, your abilities anymore, or you can't even
Yeah.
level yourself.
And driving the fucking rover is
The
already the
Mako.
worst. And honestly,
Yeah,
maybe
every.
this doesn't make me a real gamer, but I fucking hate mouse and keyboard.
No, all gamers are real gamers if you play a game. But mouse and keyboard is definitely something that's like, if you don't learn it early and you start getting your hands on controllers, which, like, they're not as efficient, but they're super comfortable. So, like, no, you're a real gamer just because you like
I'm
games.
not a real gamer.
You're gamer.
I'm like a
So,
mouse and keyboard.
if you're not 360 no-scoping every single enemy in every single game, if you're not 360 no-scoping in The Sims, how can you consider yourself a real gamer?
Exactly. I'm a
So,
disgrace.
does you're the god in Sims and you're just spinning around and you go click and it like shoots a Sim and it's like, got him,
Exactly.
headshot, and like you get
Exactly.
a kill streak on the screen.
Which sim will be electrocuted today?
Eeny, meeny, miny, you.
Exactly. So.
I feel like that'd be a fun game, because you know, like in pool or billiards or
Yeah.
billiards, you have to call your shot
I'm
in standard play.
absolute ass at any type of pool.
So like
Absolute trash.
in what's it called? Eights or something like that. I don't. It's the classic game. I know how to play it. I just
I
forget
was
the
about to say,
name.
didn't you hear what I just said?
I know what you said. But like
It
the
just trash.
standard way of doing it, is you're actually supposed to call all your shots instead of just sinking your stripes or solids. You have to call the number, and you have to call the
Oh,
corner
the
or the,
hole or
yeah,
whatever.
you have to call what hole you're shooting it in. That'd be a super fun game if you could get a mod for The Sims where you just have them all walking around like a Where's Waldo, and you gotta call the shot, spin around, and click.
That's really fair.
And then like if you win, they delete them. Like, if you lose, it's like it's somebody else, and it's like, ah.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was a mod for that somewhere, because The Sims does have some pretty bomb mods.
Sims has mods and bored people.
Yes, that's definitely it.
So.
But speaking of BioWare, there are, when I think about it now, I do feel like there is a trend, because I really loved Fenris in Dragon Age 2. But his whole thing was, like, fix me, except, like, you can't fix him.
Unfixable.
It
was the chase. It's the hunt that you were looking forward to.
Yeah, because, like, we kind of, like, hated each other, especially, I always play as a mage in, like, almost any game.
You said that so proud.
Yeah.
I always play as a mage.
I do.
You may hate me for it, but that is who I am. It's...
At least I'm not a chaotic neutral rogue, okay?
Alright.
Yeah.
Well... You know what, proceed. I don't have anything for that. I don't have anything for that, because chaotic neutral rogues are kind of just the edgelord who think, like, everything they're going to do is original.
Yeah. So, I always play as a mage in most, like, RPGs.
Yeah.
So, in Dragon Age 2, like, Fenris is, like, super anti-mage for, the more patterns, because being traumatized by mages... his usage of lyrium.
Dragon Age really sets up that mages are trash. And that, like, people with more, like, power than a standard human will always seek to abuse that power. But it's not true, but they really do a good job of making you kind of slight think that way, given your experiences.
But he's just, like, a really, like, angry man.
Angry boy. Very angry boy.
He's very angry. And so, as a mage, I'm like, but what if all mages weren't trash? And he's like, what if you go fuck yourself? But then, he still fell in love with me.
If you, like, put Fenris into a real-life counterpart, it's Liam Neeson when he's in Taken. Just a ball of vengeance.
Yes.
Completely. Just, that's it.
Yeah, and I, like, wanted so badly for him to, like me. Like, we were barely friends. Like, he barely tolerated me in Dragon Age 2. So I feel like that's why Colin was my favorite, because, like, there was a little bit of trauma sprinkled in, but Colin was, like, way nicer about it. But Fenris, I was just kind of like, why won't you love me?
Yeah.
And, like, if you do hook up with him, he literally doesn't talk to you about it for, like, 2 years. Like, he leaves.
Yeah, there are huge time skips in Dragon Age. So, I just imagine, like, you sit by the fire. Every day I wait for my love Fenris to come back.
Literally.
And then one day he's gonna, like, kick the door and be like, sup, where's your drinks? And then where's your lyrium?
Exactly.
And then he leaves again. I feel like that's who he is.
Literally, you finish hooking up with him, and then he's like, this was a mistake. And then... he literally doesn't address it again until the final battle, which is 2 years after you hooked up. And he's like, I'm really sorry for just, like,
okay, I'm ready to be in a relationship now.
It's like, are you kidding? Colin is emotionally available almost immediately.
Men are trash. Men are trash.
And then, like, Anders in Dragon Age 2 fucking blows up the whole Chantry. So...
I mean, who's worse, though? Anders or Fenris? Because, like, here's the thing. Hear me out. Anders did blow up the Chantry, but he does initiate.
He does
communicate.
He does.
And he does open up.
He does.
Fenris left you on read for 2 years.
He did.
Pure
but
ghost.
I feel like Fenris committed less war crimes, so, like, I feel like automatically
I mean,
he's
in fantasy, potato, potato. Like, really? Anything you do to annoy the main character is basically a death wish. Unfortunately, we're the main characters.
Yeah, Anders is so sweet. Like, so many romances in Dragon Age 2 are so fucking complicated. And then Anders, he is the only one who, like, immediately starts hitting on you. Like, regardless of what gender you are.
Yeah, it was pretty... At the time, to me, it was only impressive the fact that they actually had an NPC dialogue where I didn't have to feel like, oh, we have this, like, cool friendship. I'm gonna ruin it because I wanna bang!
Exactly.
And Anders is the only NPC in BioWare at that time who actually wanted to initiate with you in a not like, oh, I'm like, because there was in Origins, there was, you didn't play it. It's like Xavier or something like that.
Yeah, I think but, I know what you're talking about.
Zavine. The Prince of Crows.
Yeah.
He initiates like casual sex. Anders initiates like, I'm single and ready to mingle. It's not just like this whole like, I'm so cool that I have sex casually.
Yeah.
It's like, he's just interested in you. And so, yeah, like, literally. They don't do that a lot, where
Anders
people
is
are
like,
just interested.
I think you're a beautiful person inside and out. And, like, he tells you all of his hopes and his fears and his secrets. So then at the end of the game, where he fucking blows up the Chantry, you're like, bro.
Yeah, and there is no way to stop him. No. It's such a crucial plot point. It's the continuation into Dragon Age Inquisition.
Right, so, I mean, that's why I love Colin from Inquisition so much, because it really just feels like your relationship with him is so much less complicated. Even with all of the shit going on, he's still someone who's, like, open with you, he's super sweet, he's emotionally available, and he's hot, and his voice actor is, like, chef's kiss.
Yeah, but he has a six, so he has a six,
yeah,
six
so
head.
One of the most mean things he did to me, because...
No, can I tell it? Because I think it's funnier when I tell it.
Fine.
All right, so she told me for probably like 2 years about Cullen,
yeah.
Right? Just constantly. I've heard this about Cullen for years. So one day, I had enough of it, and I looked up Cullen's voice actor, because it was like... It's that equivalent of, like, I need this, so kind of, like, stop her. So I was banking on this guy being ugly. He's a fine-looking dude. But Shania has an aversion to anything bigger than a forehead.
That's not true! It's just...
And Cullen's voice actor has a six head.
Yeah, he got a big-ass forehead.
It's real large. And so
not even a five head.
Every single time... she mentions Colin for too long. It's just that innate reaction in me to go, hey, remember his voice actor, though?
Such an asshole.
But I do love his voice actor. And like I said, not a bad-looking guy.
No.
You just don't like foreheads that are, like, very large. It's the
yeah.
ultimate no for you.
I'm very excited about Dragon Age 4, though, if it's still...
The Cullening.
Yes, because you can... Like, with all the other Dragon Age games, you play a different person every time, but with Dragon Age 4, it's supposed to be, like, a direct sequel to 3 in
which
terms
is,
of story.
Which is what I think was made the first 3 Mass Effects so strong, is because it's
yeah.
one after another with Shepard. So I think it was a good decision. It seems like... I liked Hawk in Dragon
yeah.
Age 2, but it seems like it's a good decision that they've kind of found their spot where... We liked this main character. A lot of people thought this was our most done version of a main character for Dragon Age. So continuing it on from there is great. I just can't wait for, you know, 2020 whenever. I hope.
Yeah.
Like, not 2030 for Dragon Age 4.
I just don't really
the
have
The Dread
a lot...
Wolf Rises.
Exactly. I just don't really have a lot of
faith
in BioWare right now.
Ooh, we said faith at the same time. You
we
know
did.
What that means?
Mm.
Real bad right there.
Which
that's
is
real bad. That's not even like, oh, we're so cute, we said the
no.
same thing. It's like, no, that's a problem for
that,
BioWare.
That is a problem
when that's
for
the
BioWare.
First word to come to mind.
Yeah, yikes.
Okay, so this is my second question. So, like, I threw the first one right. This one's a small lob.
Okay.
Not too much of a pond cross here. What is, like, an SO... That could have been. Like, we already topped at the bottom. Or we already talked at the beginning.
Did you say we already
topped
at
the
bottom?
Yeah,
cool.
AKA the power bottom move.
Exactly.
About Kiryu, but, like, you can't date Kiryu. So,
yeah.
like, that same vein of who are the ones that got away?
This is for the Persona 5 dev team.
Mm-hmm.
If you weren't such fucking cowards, I could have dated Ryuji.
Yeah, isn't there the like Valentine's Day thing where it's like we're all you need?
He literally says, I know where your place is, or I know where my place is. It's next to you, and you can't date him.
It's next to you, my best platonic friend.
It's like, warn a guy. I literally felt like someone punched me in the chest when he said that to me, and then I have to go out and date somebody else. Are you kidding me?
Makohu, it's all about Ryuji for you.
Bro.
Remember Fable 3?
Yeah.
Yeah. Paige was the girl.
Oh, true.
The girl that you go into Reaver's mansion, which is basically like that mission, looking back on it, is what if the Fable 3 protagonist was Batman, essentially, because yeah. You wear a mask and you fight Reaver in a roulette crucible where him and his richest friends, it's like the Penguin mixed with Lex Luthor, where like richest friends on the underbelly of your society now spins a wheel and you have to fight stuff. But you and Paige are just running around this mansion, making all this good conversation. She's like your friend since very early in the game. Can't date her, can't marry her. She just fucks off. Same thing in Fable 1. Whisper. Loved Whisper. It was that classic tale of, like, your childhood rival, and then you could both go to the literal arena. It's like the same thing. It's like they slapped me in one cheek, did a little boop on the nose, and then slapped me in the other cheek right after. 1, 2, 3. Because, like, Paige and Whisper have the same story, where, like, you meet them early in the game, and then you fight in an arena with them, and then they just disappear. You can't marry them, even though they have great characterization. Because you know who has real good characterization in Fable, apparently, thanks to Peter Molyneux? Mm-hmm. The random fuckwad that comes up to you with a heart and proposes to you in the middle of the street.
Oh my
God. That person has more characterization than Paige or Whisper.
Honestly,
so thanks for that.
The Fable romance system is, like, low-key hilarious because you can basically just, like, blow kisses at people until they fall in love with you.
Did I ever tell you about that? What I did in Fable 2?
No.
Oh, I did the blow kiss thing to, like, everybody in... What was the town that Reaver's from?
Oakvale?
No, not where he's born. The one where he's, like, he's the king of the town. The, like, the port with all the prostitutes and stuff.
Oh, it's, like, Blood...
Yeah, it's Blood something.
Blood Wraith or... No, not Blood Wraith.
We'll call it Bloodport.
Yeah, something like that.
So, Bloodport, right? I don't know. Listen, I am 25 now, so I was probably, like, 12 or 13 when this happened, if memory serves. I blew kisses to everybody, literally everybody in the town, and then I had an orgy with them, because
yeah,
I could.
That is a feature in Fable. Like, you basically, all you have to do is, like, people who are into you, you just tell them to follow you, and then you can do that to as many people as you want, and then you can all go to a bed together.
Yeah, it's just, I had a trail of people. I felt like Pan. You know, like the god Pan?
Yeah.
It was like Pan mixed with Dionysus, except no alcohol was involved, 100% consensual, and the whole town apparently fit in one bed.
I mean, you're like kind of a god, so like...
In Fable, absolutely.
Yeah, so...
But I mean, thank you in real life, too, if that's what you mean.
Wow.
What? Is that not what you meant? But no, you are a walking, like, hero. You have the hero's blood in Fable, so...
And plus, you have, like the more powerful you become, like, you have, like, these, like, glowing lines.
Oh, yeah, you have the will makes you more, like, with magical...
Yeah, the will makes you...
You get,
like,
little avatar tattoos, essentially.
You do, and then the more, like, powerful in melee you become... The more buff you get, and then the more, like, skilled with guns you get, the taller you get.
Shoot a gun, get height. That was the Fable way.
Yeah, because they were like, I feel like they were just like, how do we make sure people know that this person knows how to shoot a weapon?
Yes.
They're tall.
They grow.
Yeah.
The worst part is like, in Fable, the body customization is basically... purposely don't use certain things.
No,
if you
want to
be tall and lean, don't hit somebody ever.
That was literally me in Fable 2, because, like, my girl was, like, fucking tall. She was huge. She had these huge lines. And then, like, if you, like, wore different clothes, you'd be more attractive to other people. So it's, like, this super buff person in a corset and, like, a mini skirt.
I would like to change my answer to whatever that main character is. That's powerful energy. Exactly. And I need that in my life.
Like, 12, like, 10-year-old me, like, didn't understand the power that it had. So I was like, oh, my God, like, this is terrible. She needs to be, like, thin. She needs to be wayfish and blah, blah, blah. And now I'm just like, oh, yeah, fuck yeah. Like, I love that journey for her.
Peter Molyneux promised many things. Did he deliver on all of them? No. Did he unintentionally set a progressive move?
Yes. He did do so, that.
Points to Peter.
Yeah, and then, like, the better at guns you get, like, you become taller than all of the other men.
You become, like, I shit you not, like, 8 feet about.
Yeah.
Just, like, when you look at it, like, all the men are, like, under your chest height
it's
by that
Avatar
point.
It's Avatar Kiyoshi vibes.
It really is.
Something that I really come to appreciate.
When you're a male Fable character, your shoulders are so big, they almost clip through the door frames. It's insane. It's so massive. And he walks, like, you know, one shoulder after the other.
Yeah.
So it's just like, boom, dude.
Yeah.
Honestly, probably that's at fault for my insane idea with, like, just getting massive. It's Fables, like, go swing a bunch of stuff, get big muscle, easy.
Yeah, speaking of Fable, like, in Fable 3,
Ben Fenn,
oh my god,
I knew it.
It really unlocked, when we were talking about it earlier, it really unlocked a memory that, like, I didn't even remember that I had, that I was, like, so in love with him, and I was crushed. I went on so many forums. I was like, is there any way you can date Ben Fenn?
I remember mentioning, it's like, you were like, what's that character from Fable 3 who was, like, really hot with, like, the blonde hair?
Yeah.
And I looked up hot blonde Fable 3, and it came up, and I was like, do you mean, like, Ben Fenn?
Yeah.
And she had a 1,000-yard stare. It was, like, all her tween memory rushed back into her, and then she let out a solemn tear for her lost boy.
Yeah. Pour one out for the homie Ben Fenn.
Ben Fenn and Paige, two characters that you just can't.
Yeah.
Because they just disappear for no reason.
Exactly. But, I mean, I don't know.
Who's, like, who's the worst SO in any game that you've ever, like, come across? You didn't have to date them. I'm not saying what was your worst relationship, because technically, that's a lot for me. But worst, like, candidate. Somebody who thinks they can get with you, the main character, but they're actually just, like, super trash. Did I stump you?
Yeah, you did.
Do you need a minute?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. I can, you know what, just make time for that by doing what I always do. As soon as I ask a question, I've already had my answer. It's so wonderful.
Of course.
So I'll just stall for you.
Sure.
Okay. So basically for me, the worst, like, candidate is in Andromeda with the news lady, because, like, you talk to the news lady every time you finish a plot point, which was very, like, reminiscent of the other Mass Effect games. With her, you can flirt with her every time, and by the end of it, like, she basically is like, so are we a thing? And your character will be like, maybe? And she's like, well, listen, I know you have this hot crew with you, and I know you go to other planets. I don't mind being a side piece.
Wow.
And it's like, okay. But, like, to me, it's like, that's the ultimate trash. It's like, I'm single, and you're still offering, like, side piece-dom.
I mean,
so
honestly,
I feel like that's, like, the trash character.
I respect that, though. She's like, listen.
Listen, I love the confidence, but
yeah,
at the moment, it's like, for an actual, like, SO,
that's
the worst.
That's hilarious.
That's high cheating energy.
Yeah.
So that gets my vote for absolute, like, worst candidate.
Yeah.
Because if I was going to be trash in that game, perfect side piece energy. Terrible girlfriend energy. So.
That's really fair.
Yeah.
I keep thinking of fucking Trevor from GTA 5 and the woman that he, like, kidnaps.
At what part? At the beginning?
No, well, it's like that. It's like this lady that you have to, he, like, kidnaps her and.
Listen, I'm gonna be honest with you that about GTA. Trevor is a trash person in general.
That's true.
But Trevor does so many bad things in GTA. You say kidnap a woman, and it really is that meme of, like, do you have any idea how little that narrows it down?
That's really fair.
Because I, and Trevor all is of just
the terrible things that Trevor is
done. Trevor is a character in a game. This isn't a joke. This isn't a hyperbole. You, if you select Trevor, there's a chance that he will, like, be thrown out of a building in his underwear. And that's how you have to start as Trevor.
True.
When you, like, pick him. So, I don't know where you're going with that, but I'm very interested to hear it still.
Actually, I'm going to circle back to Dragon Age, because if you fucking romance Solas, and then given the end of the game, how he completely fucks you over.
Men are trash. Yes.
All men are trash.
Yeah, Solas,
except for Colin Rutherford.
How old is Dragon Age? Like 2014, right?
Yeah.
Alright, listen here. Solas is the bad guy. He's the Dread Wolf. When the Dread Wolf rises in Dragon Age 4, to Shania, that means my fucking ex-boyfriend over
all
here is an asshole.
All men are trash, except for
Soul. That's a problem. That's a bad relationship. That's a therapy session right there. All men are trash, except Solas, the Dread
the
Wolf himself.
The man who betrayed me.
Oops.
And, like,
did you, like, unlock something by accident there?
I think I did. I think I just, like, repressed it, you know?
Yeah.
I have had multiple playthroughs of Inquisition where it's, like, I try and romance other people. I always end up going back to Cullen, though, because Cullen is the best.
I mean, that's who you said was the best.
Yeah.
I feel like the problem with BioWare games is I play them so much like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Undertale, where even if I reload, the events still happen in my mind.
Exactly.
And therefore, like, I can't fully extract what playthrough was what. So
exactly.
I have to trick myself into going, this is the definitive playthrough. But, like, when Mass Effect 3 released, I decided to do, like, a permadeath, like, maximum difficulty run. All Paragon, I wanted to just end the entire series. And I did it. And I called that, like, that is the last time I'll play Mass Effect. I beat Mass Effect 1 again, like, a month ago. So, like,
yeah.
What I say is a lie to my future self.
Oh my god, a person who got away, though, Barnabas from Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Is that the old guy?
No, it's the guy that...
That's the guy with the ship.
Oh my god, that is Barnabas. No, I'm
I mean, he
about...
is, he's a sweetheart, but...
I do love him. He's like my dad. No, I'm talking about the guy that fights with you. And, like, when he's introduced, he's like, come and get it.
Alright, again, do you have any idea how little that narrows
that's
it down?
That's really fair. No, he's the Spartan.
Oh, you're talking about, the dude at the ship. The shipyard, who, like...
Yes.
Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yes.
I don't remember his name, but, man, that man is,
Brazidas.
That man is a physical warrior.
Oh my god, I love him so much.
Oh man, yeah, you can't date him, can you?
Yeah, it made me really upset that you couldn't date him, because it's like, who else would be better
than the guy who also kicks ass?
Yes.
What's that thing that I always quote from Overly Sarcastic Productions?
Mm.
It's like, what's manlier than two men?
Exactly.
And that's basically how I view Odyssey's relationship statuses with my character.
That's
just
absolutely
be the manliest by getting with other men and inheriting their manliness with you.
That's absolutely it.
So what was his name? Brazetas?
Brazidas. Oh, God.
That's a good dude.
It really threw me back to, you know, Ben Finn's time, where I'm, like, looking through forums, like, can you date Brazidas? And it's like, no.
Fair enough.
You can't.
Really
unfair.
Yeah, that's really... Yeah, you looked up... I remember you called me just to complain about that.
I did.
You called me, and it was like, I can't date this character that you haven't met yet, and then I was playing at my house, and you... made me, like, pause so you could come... Not, like, come over. She was already here. But she came and scooted her chair so she could watch the Brazidas intro cutscene again.
Yeah.
And she was really upset that, like, I didn't have, like, the same, like, oh,
because
reaction.
Because I immediately fell in love with him. And I was, like, looking over at him, like, eh, eh? Like, isn't this guy, like, amazing? And he's, like, I mean, like, yeah.
He's cool. But,
no,
like...
No, he's the love of my life.
He's cool. Thanks for that. I appreciate
it. He's the love of my life.
She's holding me hostage. There's no weapon, but the daggers in her eyes are weapons enough to me. So anyway, before she kills me, before I make more fun of her characters, I'm Brandon.
And I'm Shania.
And this has been Big Oof Coming Your Way.
And you can follow us on Twitter.
Oh, right. I forgot about all that.
Yeah. Fool.
I'm sorry. You want to do it this time?
You can follow us on Twitter at Big Oof
Podcast. Yep.
And then we have a Patreon,
which is just the same name, Big Oof Coming Your Way.
And then this guy Twitch streams.
Oh,
also.
I do. Yeah, I do that. I'm a twitch.tv/brawlmite, and sometimes you can also see her on there whenever she wants to appear.
Occasionally, you know.
We usually play like co-op games when she's there, and otherwise I usually just play like a lot of like single player games, including Yakuza, which are the games that I'm going to be pushing through first so I can listen to Kiryu's sweet, sweet voice.
I will literally give anything to watch you play Cabaret Club Czar, aka the best mini game.
Like I've said, there will probably be one episode on Yakuza 0, which is just the Cabaret Club episode, and then when I get to Yakuza 2, there will be the Cabaret Club Part 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Exactly. Well, thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. And until next time.